Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Patrick Sigener. Patrick's the Program Executive Officer for NASA's Integrated Financial Management Program. And joining us in our conversation is Steve Seeker. Well, Patrick, how has your previous experience helped you in this current position?
Well, Paul, in a couple of ways. One of the main, drivers of the Integrated Financial Management Program is obviously the ability to tie performance and financial characteristics of specific programs and projects. I come from private industry, joined NASA a couple of years ago, 18 months ago specifically, and previously I was both on the technical and system side, and more recently I was CFO of a company on the West Coast. So I think part of the reason that attracted me to NASA and maybe interested NASA was the fact that I was able to look at this type of implementation from both a system and a project standpoint, and also as an end user. As CFOs, many organizations look at you as both the entity responsible for delivering credible numbers, but also the organization responsible for putting in place a system to generate those numbers. One of the concerns that the agency had, based on their previous experience, was to try to be as transparent as possible in the development of the system and get the various constituencies involved, as opposed to, this is a system we're going to build and throw at you. This is a system we're trying to build with you, and we will roll it out with your participation. So in my case, I started my career more on the operational and system side, mostly working for large Fortune 50 companies in the system component of financial departments. And then over time, I migrated towards more of the, shall we say, the end user of the product as a CFO. In the case of NASA specifically, back about 2 years ago, I was asked to look at the space station cost overruns that had been taking place. A commission had been established, chaired by John Young, and I was responsible for developing the financial management recommendations moving forward that would potentially help mitigate some of the overruns. So that was my first exposure to the agency's inner financial works, and as a consequence potentially of some of those recommendations, I had this interesting event take place where I was asked to help implement those recommendations. And that's how I ended up at the agency.
That's terrific. Can you describe, Patrick, the main components of IFMP for our listeners?
Gladly. As I mentioned earlier, we have multiple projects as opposed to trying to implement all of the capabilities at once. We call them modules. We have developed and implemented roughly half of the modules that will ultimately comprise the system, the suite of applications. We started with position description and resume management, partially because staffing was and continues to be a very critical element of the success of the agency. I mean, above all, again, we are a scientific and engineering organization, and for us, we're only as good as the people that compose our organization. So this is not so much processing specific things. This is leveraging on individual talents. So although this is an integrated financial management program, the immediate requirements were very much to support some of the staffing efforts. So we developed and implemented the first two modules about 18 months ago, called Resume Management and Position Description. This was followed by a module called Travel Manager. Again, the nature of our organization is such that we have a lot of people spending a lot of time in airplanes, going not only all around the United States, but going internationally, mostly to Russia, but also to Europe, to Australia, and so forth. And a significant amount of money is spent traveling, so we need it from a financial control standpoint to develop a capability of tracking and managing more efficiently travel costs. Now, just as a quick background, although I'd like to believe most people know who we are, the agency is actually a very decentralized organization. The agency operates out of 10 centers that are spread across the United States. And those centers have very specific missions. They are in charge of specific programs, projects, in the sense that a lot of the work gets done there. Now, the program management of the agency is center-independent. Program managers, in many cases, will manage undertakings that are housed at several centers. If you're in space shuttle activities, you will have work being done at Stennis, at Marshall, at Johnson, eventually at Kennedy. So you need to be able to coordinate and have insight in a variety of centers. And in space science, you have work that goes on at JPL, at Goddard. So as a consequence, our organization is both distributed and also coordinated in slightly different organizational lines, the equivalent in private industry of divisions. Divisions can have multiple plants or production areas, but the divisions themselves are in a certain area. In addition to that, headquarters here in Washington is responsible for, obviously, not only the budget, but the overall policy and management of the entire organization. And their requirements for integrated data is also quite high. So this is actually comparable to, you know, a traditional distributed multinational organization. And I should mention we also have satellite offices all over the world. So the need for something like a travel manager application is actually fairly significant if you start looking at the coordination efforts required. After travel manager, the next application that just got deployed was our core financials application. That is a very traditional product. This is what you would call budget execution from a government standpoint. This is your financial accounting module from a private standpoint. This is basically the books of the agency. Now, this was a major undertaking because up until now, every one of the centers that I mentioned had their own accounting system. That system was autonomous, had been usually developed or contracted or purchased locally, and really was not capable of any integration with any other accounting system from any other center. There were interfaces, data could be exchanged, but there was very little capability, for example, in the traditional consolidation accounting where, let's say, a specific enterprise rolls up their information on a specific program. You look at the information at the top and you want the ability to drill back down to a specific task. That did not exist. I mean, there was a lot of data calls where a constituency needed information from another constituency and asked for the information. But first of all, they had to ask. And second of all, it had to be extremely well defined because it's the old what you see is what you get. In this case, what you ask for is what you get. And the analytical capabilities were very limited. So the core financial system did two things. It retired 10, you know, accounting, family of accounting systems. It was more than just one system per center. It also put every single organization in the agency on a single instance of the software, which means everybody essentially operates, puts data in, gets data out, generates reports out of the same environment. It's a massive relational database. And that is for us a significant step. Because the ability from any angle in three dimension to get the information out is something that the agency has been after for a long time and is finally able to gather. So that's the most recent module that we implemented. To date, it's been the most complex because literally it was 10 separate implementations. A good friend of mine who now left NASA warned me when I first came into the agency and said, you know, when you've seen one NASA center, you've seen one NASA center. So the experience that we learned out of deploying in one center had some correlation to the next deployment, but it was fairly modest. What we did is we actually broke down that rollout into three separate waves, partially because we just did not have the resources to try to get everybody up at the same time. There's a very large training component, and we just could not muster getting everybody trained at once. Besides that, we wanted to actually, up to a point, create out of the first wave a semi-pilot, learn from that, and then get the second wave to address some of the major centers, the more complex conversion issues. And then the third wave would hopefully, you know, be able to close the door fairly shortly. So the core financial module, which just finished implementation out of its third wave on June 23rd, is that. The future modules are as follows. There is a budget formulation module, which is the formulation of the budget as opposed to the execution of the budget. That is being developed as we speak and is slotted for complete rollout. In this case, it's going to be a single rollout in a single instance agency-wide sometime next spring. After that, we have an asset management module, which for us is also a fairly critical component. our auditors or get very nervous when we're not able to track where some of our probes are, although we tell them that it's sometimes really difficult to verify whether or not the sensor is on that probe when it's on its way to Mars, but we should be able to at least tell them roughly where it is. So the asset management module in itself is going to be a fairly large undertaking. And then following that, we're going to have an HR module, which is really a human capital management capability. It goes beyond just personnel records, employee payroll, and so forth. And then finally, we are going to take the contract administration capability and move it to hopefully some of the next technological steps that are coming down the road, which is advanced document generation system. We're discussing potentially the use of a semantic web for more efficient information retrieval. So those are the major modules.
All of the work just described has huge management challenges. What are those challenges and how have they been addressed? We'll ask Patrick Sigener of NASA to take us through these challenges when the Business of Government Hour returns.